Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. Today, we're going to be exploring something called programmatic music. And this is music that tells a story, paints a picture, or captures an emotion beyond the notes on the page. By now, we know that in the 19th century, composers were obsessed with expression. They wanted their music to communicate ideas, emotions, and even full narratives. Unlike something called absolute music, which we've really talked about for the entirety of these seasons, valuing pure form and structure, programmatic music aims to describe something. So this could be a legend, a poem, a painting, or a journey. The seeds of programmatic music were sown much earlier in the works of composers like Vivaldi and his Four Seasons, or Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. But it really was the Romantic generation that truly embraced this idea. The 19th century's fascination with literature, nature, and human psychology gave rise to works that blurred the boundaries between sound and story. Composers sought to translate narrative into sound. Here we have a composer that we spoke briefly about in our last episode named Hector Berlioz, perhaps the most quintessential programmatic composer. His Symphonie Fantastique from 1830 is one of the first major programmatic symphonies. It tells the story of an artist's unrequited love, obsession, and descent into hallucination. This work in particular has a specific feature that I'd like to talk about today, and that's called our idée fixe. So this is a musical term used to describe a recurring theme or melody that represents a specific person, idea, or emotion. And this is especially one that a composer wants to remind the listener of throughout a work. The idée fixe in Symphonie Fantastique is symbolizing the artist's obsessive love for his beloved, and it sounds like this. So in broader terms, an idée fixe is like a musical obsession or a signature motif that ties an entire piece together. And if you're thinking, this sounds like another term that I know more frequently is used later on in our season, and particularly in 20th and 21st century music, yes, idée fixe is foreshadowing later ideas like leitmotifs in Wagner's operas, where those themes are representing characters or concepts. So, in addition to this specific technique that Berlioz used in Symphonie Fantastique, he even wrote a detailed program for the audience to read while listening. And this was a radically new idea at that time. The final movements depict a march to the scaffold and a witch's Sabbath, complete with an eerily Halloween-y orchestration, and also the Dies Irae theme from those beloved requiems that we know. So this, all in all, was not just music. It really was a drama that he was creating. Following in Berlioz's footsteps, Franz Liszt took programmatic music even further. He developed the symphonic poem, a single movement orchestra work inspired by a poem, myth, or work of art. We heard about this in Liszt's episode, but works like Les Préludes, Mazeppa, and Tasso show Liszt's fascination with transformation, both musical and spiritually. He believed that music could mirror the structure of the human experience using thematic transformation instead of that classical sonata form. So, all in all, these symphonic poems really transformed what orchestral music could be and redefined it for centuries to come. Now, not all programmatic music told fantastical stories. Some celebrated nature or national identity. Smetana's Mavlost, or My Country, paints the Czech landscape and its legends. Richard Strauss composed tone poems like Don Juan, Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks, and also Sprach Zarathustra, pushing orchestral color and storytelling to new extremes. Now, it wouldn't be music if there wasn't a debate. So not everyone agreed that music should tell stories in this way. Johannes Brahms and others championed absolute music, while other composers were really experimenting with what music could do. So this debate, can music mean something beyond itself, really defined much of the 19th century musical thought. And even today, you could say that there's the tension between pure sound and storytelling, and that really continues to shape how we listen to new music being composed today. So this was a little bit of an extension on what was happening in last episode, where I was a little bit vague on some of these pieces. But the biggest things from today are programmatic music, learning that that is different than our absolute music. And also one key phrase that will help us later down the road of the idée fixe, having this almost leitmotif represent part of this storytelling in our programmatic works. In our next episode, I'm really excited to start talking about 19th century opera. And this really kind of includes a lot of everything, but my favorite part about it is bel canto opera. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit because we will have an episode strictly on bel canto opera and its composers right after that. So join me next time for Between the Bar Lines.